set.
June. Catch up a little bit, or go back a little bit. Go to, we'll just read it quickly, verse 11 down through, and then we'll come up where we're at here. Well, we have to go to 10. These speak evil of things which they know not. That what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves.
Makes me think, Lord, it's not what goes into you that corrupts
Pardon?
You. It's not what goes into you that corrupts you, but what comes out of you that corrupts you.
Well, corruption is already in you.
But it's, well, I'm just going by what it says here. What they speak as brute beasts, and then those things, they corrupt themselves. They speak evil, and that corrupts them.
Yeah, but
I agree that it's in you, but the corruption seems to be when you let it out.
But the meaning here of brute beasts is it means that what you know by your senses, you're still operating as a brute beast. And that's a different story. It has nothing to do with what we or the world thinks is corruption or being corrupted. I'm going to take another side trip. So all I do is take side trips. Go to Matthew 3. New Bible. This is at John's baptism. And he says this incredible couple things that are mind-bending. But when he saw, and all the people that were ready got baptized. And then it says, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now what that literally says in Greek, not a generation of vipers, that's kind of, you sons of the snake is what it says. You sons of the snake. That puts it a little stronger. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In other words, he was mocking why they were there. More than likely, they were sent by the Sanhedrin to keep an eye on John. Bring forth, therefore, fruits, meat, or necessary for repentance. Well, we'll get into that one in a minute. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also, now in addition to that, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, who are the trees? What is this about? Now is the axe laid to the root of the trees. Let's go to another one like that. We'll come back to that. Go to John 15. That was a biggie. No wonder it was. I was in the wrong chapter. Verse 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we have, first the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and now, if the vine isn't bearing fruit, then it's not abiding in him. What is the bearing of fruit? What is the fruit?
It's either reproduction or fruit of the Spirit.
That's right. There's two things. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, let's continue reading there. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, abide in the vine, so no more can you except you abide in him, in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth me in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing, nothing of value to the kingdom. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and shall be done for you, done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. So, it's not just a little fruit, it's much, much fruit. So what is it? No, let's go back. Let's go back to the trees. No, you don't have to go back there. Now is the axe laid to the fruit. No, that's not what it says. Now is the axe laid to the trees. Hmm?
Root, isn't it?
By the root of the trees.
Axe laid to the root. So, said that a minute ago, I know you're thinking here, but it's, you can sense that a tree receives all of its sustenance from the earth, and and the world, perhaps, in that parable, and that's where your life is fed. But when the axe is laid to the root, it's cut off completely from that source, and you die. But if the root of your life is buried in Christ, and that's the nutrients of your life come from Him, then fruit is the what happens.
Right, but the evidence is that you're abiding in Him is that you bear much fruit. What we don't, we may understand it intellectually, we might hear it and think about it, is that the human race died with Him, in Him.
Yeah.
The Son of Man, by His crucifixion, the human race is gone.
That's what John was saying here, right?
Yeah, that's what John the Baptist was saying.
Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees because the baptism was His death and burial as Son of Man. He was both Son of Man and Son of God. He took the Son of Man and ran it to the end until He saw there was no there there. And so He became poor, because there was nothing in the world that gave Him sustenance or satisfaction as Son of Man. He even was taken by the devil into a high hill and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world, everything in it, for the, not just them, but from beginning to end. And what He was tempting with, not that He would be leader, but that He would shift His view from being of value to God to being of value to men. Do you understand that? That's what always is going on in us. The same thing is testing us, that we would be of value to man instead of value to God.
Kind of interesting, both offer kingship. The devil offers king by ownership and control and dominion, where God offers kingship by submission and servanthood and laying down your life. And the world isn't attracted to that at all, nor is the flesh. So the devil's offer looks pretty good to a lot of people.
Well, it isn't resisted for many years.
It's what?
The self-seeking, the act of self-seeking, is that devil domain.
Yeah.
And so the self-seeking, you don't know the fruit, you don't know the stupidity of that until you're poor. Until you no longer gain sustenance or satisfaction from the world system. Therein, then, you are eligible, if you will, or more likely to come into the kingdom of God. Because that's, again, we went to that the other day. He preached to the poor. He brought the news to the poor. God didn't care whether you have money or not. He cares whether or not that you as a potential member of His domain, that you have come to the point where you're sick unto death and gain no sustenance or satisfaction from the world system. Now that's a big deal. It's as big as it gets. Because then you have no desire to be either in the world or of the world.
Just saw something interesting about your life in particular. When people get to that point, they are empty and they know they need something, so they, I'll go to church. So they go to church, and the preacher preaches, come to Christ, and get houses and cars and good families. You'll get all the stuff you ever wanted, but you got to come to Christ to get it. So they're preaching this gospel of success in the flesh and calling it God.
Right. They're the devil's workshop.
Yeah. And it's an attractive message, and the people who are poor will buy it.
Well, not if they're poor enough, because you don't want it meaningless to have houses and cars and money.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I initially knew that, so I just walked away from everything. A few days later, I came to my senses and said, wait a minute. So that's why I tried to prove that the scriptures were wrong. I never tried to prove that I was right. You'll always find a way to do that. I tried to prove that the conversion experience was wrong. I did it by trying to find, well, you know, we've talked about that many times. But again, here, this is what's happened at his, and we may know it intellectually, but we don't know it. Galatians 6. Not six. Must be First Corinthians. You know what it is. If one died for all, then all are dead.
Yeah.
But think about that. If he died for all, I mean, we say it all the time, that the human race died on the cross. Well, what happened is there's no more humans, there's no more fruit of Adam. Now it's either the fruit of Jesus Christ or the fruit of the evil one. Okay? And we all spent many years being the fruit of the evil one. We were never neutral. We've never been an independent self.
2 Corinthians 5.
Hmm?
2 Corinthians 5.
Read
past that. Okay.
You can't just go there and say it. Yeah.
For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And
that's enough.
Okay.
Now, again, to think that, maybe we've all thought, and we still do, we think we were of the human race. And so there can be neutral places if that's true. But we're not. If he died for all, then all are dead, then who is this one, the usurper? What's going on? We know that the evil one came out of the water in this revelation, but then a little while later the same evil one put horns on his head, little horns. But whatever he said was still from the dragon. Why? Because everything that that new being is consumed with self-seeking. And you can be just as self-seeking if you're seeking anything in the world. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're really, really seeking and you run for president, or you're just sort of seeking and you think your job is to do something that's in the world. But we have got to leave time and space. Because if you don't leave time and space, i.e. leave your mind behind, what you're going to do, what's going to happen? But we think there's been a neutral us. Do you understand? We think that, well, we've been neither for the devil or for Christ. We've just been ourselves. Well, that's not right. You've never been an independent self. You've always been a vessel for deity. You didn't have a choice in the matter. And if you're still using your mind, you're still a vessel for the wrong God. You may be sort of getting out of it a little bit, but if you're in the world, you're an enemy of God, if you're a friend of the world. And this is why we must be in fear and trembling. That's the mystery of God. And if you're a preacher, then go back to Jude. We're going to spend more time on this when we get there, but go to verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so we've got all kinds of types here. We've got axes laid to the root of the trees, branches of the vine that bear not fruit get burned up. What is when the fruit is? It's really the only from this place. It's not the fruit of being a nice person or something. It is reproduction. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Just as Jesus said, he can do nothing of myself but what I see the Father doing, we have to be in this position. Well, we can do nothing of ourselves or from ourselves. And if you don't realize that your mind is the instead of Christ, and it can't be fixed, then you'll continue using your mind and try to find a place that justifies using it. The axe has already been laid to the fruit of the tree. To the tree, the root of the trees. Don't be those that are the one we just read about. Those that don't bear fruit, or somebody comes along and throws you in the fire. You cannot bear fruit unless your life is 100% Jesus Christ. If any of the world is left in it, then you're kidding yourself. And that's what all these incredible scriptures we've been studying are saying. Any response? Anybody else?
The 100% Jesus Christ is not something you can do.
That's why you are saved with fear, in fear and trembling. That's why the prayer is, I mean, you have to see that. If you're not, if you're still partially in the world, you better be praying in fear and trembling to take you out. Or at least, as I've said it hundreds of times, at least take the lowest seat and say, Father, if this is true, I can't do it. I need your help. But don't justify yourself. If you justify yourself, then you're living a lie. If you don't justify yourself, you're living a lie. You know what I mean. I've got it. Every branch that abides in me bears much fruit. Consider these things. Take a big breath.